What is going on, everybody? My name is Conor Lawler. Welcome back to another month of Movie Mondays here on the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking all the week's movie news, entertainment news, and just generally having a bit of a chit-chat about everything to do with film. As always, I am joined by my best pal, Mr. Sean Meehan. Sean, how's it going?
I'm good, Conor. Happy weekend, day after June came out. I think that's the date.
It's the day after June. No, it's 2 days.
2 days after June came out.
It was the first, so 3 days.
3 days. We're excited to see Dune too.
Oh, it's Dune month, baby. So, Dune is out, Dune 2. We will do a review of that at some stage. I don't know when, but we probably will do a review because it's our most anticipated movie of the year.
Well, that's the only way we can like justify talking about it to each other, is like if we record it.
So. Yeah, that's a take. So I can't wait for that. We are doing that this week because, of course, it's a Movie Mondays, or a Movie Monthlies, as we're now calling them. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of movie news to discuss over the last few last 30 days. So I thought it was important, release this episode, get it out. What this weekend also was, Sean, just before this weekend, was the release of our very famous Madam Web review on our Patreon.
Critics say, maybe give it another go, you know?
So we said we'd try it out. And boy,
look, you've all heard it. You're all patrons, presumably.
If you can get access to that movie review and loads of other movie reviews over on our Patreon, basically, yeah, you just go in. It's the price of one cup of coffee. You get access to all those reviews if you haven't already. And we think the movie is something.
We watched it. We certainly watched it.
It's definitely something I've seen in my life, correct.
For better or worse.
Sean, I mean, there's a lot of movie news that we've covered for many years here. And what I want to say straight away, actually I was going to segue into the first story, but if everyone, if this is your first episode, don't need to do anything. This is your second or above, we'd really appreciate a like or a follow. Whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on, a 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify would really, really help us out. Really, really good. Yeah. It would be, we would say, nice.
Yeah, I would say lovely, in fact. I would go as far. Christ-like. There, I said it.
You start singing hallelujah to like over and over the 5 stars. But yeah, we've covered a lot of movie news since 2018.
Going a long time.
Long time. Not a lot of people were listening back then. So we've been doing a bit of movie news where people are listening recently.
My dad still listens.
Sean, what the main story we've always talked about, and something I think the story we've talked about more than any other story, is, and I'm going to say these words, Fantastic Four.
Oh my God.
Comma, casting.
No rumours anywhere in that title, folks.
I didn't say rumours, Sean. I didn't say reports.
Finally.
The word I have is confirmation. Finally.
We've got confirmation. Multiple sources. The actors themselves. Marvel Studios has said, this is what it is. Yeah. And you know what? It's fine.
So, we're moving on to our next piece of news. If anyone, this is your first episode or one of your first few, we have been covering this story for years. Every fucking few weeks, a new story came out that was like, these people are rumoured to be Reed Richards. This person is rumoured. Emily Blunt and John Krasinski, they're locked in. Are they? Not really.
Krasinski's kind of in,
but he's not in. And then we moved on to Oscar Isaac. No, not Oscar Isaac.
Pedro Pascal or...
No, Star Wars. Kylo Ren.
Oh, yeah, that man. Adam Driver.
Adam Driver. How did I forget Adam Driver's name? Adam Driver, he was locked in, and then he wasn't locked in, and then he was locked in, but now he's not locked in. So, officially, we had, after months and months and years of speculation of who's going to be in this fucking movie, I had the great moment over about 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago now, where I looked on Twitter and they said, confirmed. Kevin Feige has said this is the cast.
You know, I looked at it and I looked at like the announcement image that they had made up and I was like, oh, it's another fan casting that they did.
Yeah. So the news that we have is Pedro Pascal will be playing Reed Richards.
I don't hate it. He's not my favourite choice, but it's fine.
Vanessa Kirby is down to play Sue Storm.
Yeah, nailed it.
Ebon Moss Backrack?
Backrack.
Backrack. Will be playing the Tig.
Outstanding casting.
Not the Tig, sorry. Michael Chiklis is the Tig, is actually the correct title of the character.
I think he could be a definitive version of the Thing.
Okay, right. We're gonna have to. No, Sean, this is not in a meeting, but come here to me.
Go ahead.
If you ever disregard Chiklis on this show again,
I've disregarded Chiklis in my goddamn life?
I will leave. I will every walk Christmas, off the show.
Every Christmas, I make a gingerbread Chiklis. You know this.
This is a Michael Chiklis zone, right?
This is the Chiklis corner. Like, we're fully behind
Chiklis.
You're
telling me, you think this second-rate Tig is going to come along?
No, I'm saying I want the Thing to become like the James Bond of Hollywood castings, where it's like, who's the next person to play the Thing and take their own spin on it, you know?
Yeah.
There's been good ones and bad ones, but they all have their own thing to offer. I just think Ebon Moss Backrack is going to be one of the good ones, you know?
I think he's going to be quite good. Look, I'm not disregarding him. It's just because we have a fun gag about Michael Chiklis, because we all love Chiklis.
We all love Chiklis. We love The Shield.
I love The Shield. Right? And then we have Joseph Quinn playing Johnny Storm. So
a lot of people don't like that casting. But I'm like...
Let's talk about that, because I don't really know a lot about Joseph Quinn. You probably know a bit more than me.
I just know he was in a couple of episodes of Game of Thrones and he was in Stranger Things. I think he's getting a lot of flack because they think they're casting a Stranger Things actor for popularity. But if they were doing that, they would have announced this 2 years ago when Stranger Things is coming out.
Yeah, the Stranger Things, I think the hype has very much gone the opposite way, where they're all now 27.
Yeah, but I can fully buy him as like cocky brother. I think I've not heard him do an American accent, but I imagine it's going to be fine.
Johnny Storm, I think, as a character, like the previous two have been outrageous. So like they had Chris Evans and Michael B. Jordan. There's nothing really you can do, but that's two of the best actors in Hollywood. Like, and I think it's interesting to go a slightly different way.
Because he's not those guys. He's not like absolutely sculpted. Exactly. Unless you're paid to look like that.
Unless you're Michael Chiklis, obviously.
Chiklis, of course. But I think it is interesting that he's a different offering and he's not. How would I say this? Like, Michael B. Jordan and Chris Evans are, like, I suppose, traditionally handsome and objectively attractive. Like, no matter who you are, you can see that. But I think Joseph Quinn, and specifically, like, the character, fair enough, that he played in Stranger Things, got a lot of people falling for him online because he was charming.
Mm.
Which I think is a lot of what Johnny Storm is. He's just guy to hang out with.
It's very funny that you say that, because that was the first thing I thought of, in that I don't know if Michael B. Jordan was good casting as Johnny Storm, but I think Michael B. Jordan's one of the best actors on the planet.
100%.
I think Johnny Storm as a character is a really like specific one. It actually works better if he's not like supermodel handsome, as you say,
yeah.
But he's the most charismatic man, cocky fucker. Just like he's the one that you kind of love to hate to love.
That's
just
the thing.
He's a cheeky fucker, but I'm glad he's in our deck.
Exactly. Like I think Johnny Storm, a lot of why he works is that, and a lot of why he works well in Fantastic Four specifically, is that he's not the full package on his own. Whereas I feel like Michael B. Jordan, Chris Evans can lead movies independent of themselves. This isn't a critique or anything, but I just think casting like a Joseph Quinn, and again, not a slag on him, I think he's a great actor. He works.
It's not a slag to be like, you're not Michael B. Jordan. The man, he's won up for Oscars. Like,
this is the thing, and you're doing different things. You're getting different things from the characters. But I think in an ensemble, you wouldn't cast Henry Cavill as Human Torch because he would steal everything. Everyone would be looking at him in every scene. Yeah, there's no point to have anyone else because he looks like the biggest hero there is. Whereas if you want the younger brother who's charming and cocky and arrogant and probably has to learn a lesson across the film, I think that's the kind of guy you cast.
Because even like in the early ones, with Rise of the Silver Surfer and the 2005 and 2002, I think it is, or 2003 ones.
Yeah.
Maybe 05, 07 or something like that.
But, I think it was 03, 05. And
the original ones with Chris Evans, like, he's kind of the leader. You know, weirdo, because he's clearly the most charismatic. Look, we talk shit about Chiklis because we love Chiklis, but Chris Evans, even back then, he's the movie star.
Stealing scenes.
And like, you have Jessica Alba as well. They had the two of them there, and they were like the two massive fucking stars in it.
Yeah.
And I think, I do like the idea that Johnny Storm isn't... Yeah, I actually think there's like a really cool, understated way that Johnny Storm isn't the standout, but he's the one you'll remember. Because I really liked your line there, is that he's not full by himself. Like, he's good at certain things.
Yeah.
But why Fantastic Four in the comic books works is that they're all good specifically in like certain areas, but like by themselves they're kind of shit.
This is the thing, because the beauty of Fantastic Four, and one of the reasons it sold so well and was so seminal and like such a big departure from what you usually saw in comics, is that they are a family. They're Marvel's first family. And they all do different family roles and they fight like family because they all have fucking different personalities. But they're all together at the end of the day. Like,
what I don't like, weirdly, is Pedro Pascal.
It feels safe. Like,
that feels like the only one that I was like, you know what, if you were going to do it, I wish you'd gone all out. Like Vanessa Kirby, Ebon Moss, and Joseph Quinn. Like, I'm like, yeah, I like those castings because you can do anything with them. Whereas Pedro Pascal, I think he actually is probably the one rather than Joseph Quinn, where they're like, Pedro's big at the minute.
This is bankable,
This is bankable, let's bring Pedro in. And Pedro's very fucking excellent. Like, he's excellent at everything he does.
Yeah, very good actor. But I don't want to just cast someone because they play a dad a lot on TV. I would rather an interesting choice, but also you run into the thing that you need Johnny to be younger than a lot of the team to get the younger brother thing across. If you cast someone like Adam Driver next to Joseph Quinn, there's not that much in the difference.
True. So I just don't think Pedro can do full-on dickhead Reed Richards. Maybe that's the reason why he signed up, because he was like, this could be interesting to play this, as we all know, known bastard Reed Richards in comic books is one of the worst people that's ever existed. So
has done terrible things, purely rational, but like to a fault,
like a sociopath, completely true and true.
I'm looking back at like Pedro Pascal's work. The one of the closest things I could imagine him playing Reed Richards as is like his Maxwell Lord, like more of a megalomaniac kind of Reed Richards.
And look, he was having a lot of fun in that movie. He was chewing scenery. He was loving life. And I'm just really interested to see what he does with Reed Richards, because like, Reed Richards is interested. Where did it go? Do they go like full on hero shots, I think, at the start. But Reed Richards isn't... Okay, I'm going to say so. I don't think Reed Richards is a hero. Like, you're meant to like be scared of Reed Richards a little bit.
Reed Richards is meant to be look, Fantastic Four went on a hiatus from comics for a very long time there. They're only kind of back now. But Reed Richards, in a lot of cases, was someone another character would go to for help or advice. And it's like, hey, I'm out of my depth. I better go to Reed Richards. Mm. And it's not like you don't just call in for a chat. It's like, no, he's like, He's doing his own thing. He's just, he's a force of nature, basically.
Yeah, I love that character because I'm kind of scared of him.
Yeah.
Like, he's the break glass in case of emergency.
Which,
oh shit, because his ideas could be, well, like, oh, the bad guy told me I have to kill my whole family to save everyone. He'd be like, all right, kill your family. Like, I don't know what you're asking me for. Like,
100%.
What are you wasting time?
One of the best things that the Ultimate Universe did, in my opinion, is they made Reed Richards a full villain. They called him the Maker. And he's just like this fucked up. It's like, Reed Richards got one bad day. And like, this is what he turned into.
I think this could be good, but I also think I'm worried that it might just be fine.
Set in the 60s, and they have the WandaVision director apparently attached to it, Matt Shackman.
Matt Shackman is down to direct, and it's going to be coming out for May 2nd next year.
That's kind of a quick turnaround, but...
Mm.
If they have a good script and it's locked and they're happy with it.
It's coming in, they're locking it in as the final movie of the multiverse. During the final chapter of the multiverse saga. So they're
cool.
So they're bringing it in as fast as possible so they can kind of kick off phase six.
Yeah, it's kind of encouraging to think that this all got announced and approved and greenlit like a couple of months after the writer's strike ended. Where, like, I imagine... Look, I have no information on this at all, but I imagine they were waiting on that to put the final touches on to finalise casting to see who would fit that story the best. That's kind of encouraging.
The one bit I really dislike is the fact that they're rumoured to have, well, Javier Bardem in the movie, which is okay.
Yeah.
But, because Javier Bardem's a great actor, but he's Galactus. And I think having Galactus in the first Fantastic Four movie... It's a bad idea.
In fairness, he shows up about six issues into the Fantastic Four comics.
Yeah, but it's a movie. You don't have to do exactly what the comic... Just
no,
pick a different villain.
But like, there's storylines there that like work. Like, no, I fully believe this is going to open up with them fighting like the Mole Man. And in the first 10 minutes, that's resolved. And then the rest of it is the Galactus confrontation.
Like, Galactus is... He eats planets, man.
Big Galactus. Big Galactus. Put him in his little fucking purple shorts and his weird helmet and fucking gimme Galactus.
I'm not talking Fog Galactus. I'm not talking Stabbins and Fog.
But
I literally say the brother eats fucking planets, man.
Like, hell yeah, he does.
How do you go higher than the dude who's going to eat planets? You can't.
But they have. Look at what Fantastic Four... I may have said the exact opposite of this in the past, okay?
Yes.
However, if you do Galactus first and they beat Galactus and then Doom shows up and Doom is a threat, that sells Doom even better. I've got Doom on the brain.
I think just go with Doom. Like,
no, not straight away. Not straight away. Introduce him. He's not the main villain.
To me, Doom is like Joker. Okay, fair enough. But like, you're starting off, like, I'm looking at it from a Batman point of view, but instead of like, you're starting off with like Darkseid. So he's fighting Darkseid and then Joker shows up in the next movie. I'm like, yeah, well, I suppose I can see the logic, but going straight on Darkseid seems like a big high bar.
I get the logic. I think you're coming at it with too much information of what those characters are capable of.
Galactus eats planets.
Yeah. So if they beat him, then the general movie going audience will be like, oh, this next guy is much more of a threat. Like the way no one gave a shit about Kang because Ant-Man beat him.
True. Yeah, yeah. So if unless they're doing Doom as the big bad.
I think they're doing Doom as the big bad and that leads into Secret Wars. I think that's
okay.
The plan. I also think from rumours, again, we still have rumours about who's going to be Doom. Apparently it might be Henry Cavill.
Oh, shit.
Now,
oh, shit. That'd be pretty good.
I want to go on record. Handsome man. Put him in the mask all the time.
All the time. And he should think he's hideous, which is why he wears the mask.
He gets the one small scar. Traditional Doom.
Yeah.
Never have him... Once he puts that mask on, it never comes off.
Yeah. He's hideous. He hates himself.
He's livid. Like that's all I want. I'm very excited for this. They also have Herbie in it, the little robot from the Fantastic Four animated series.
I'm not too pushed on that.
No, it's pretty good.
Although You could do Galactus as the big bad for the whole phase. I mean, what better way to bring all the heroes together than this guy's going to eat the fucking planet?
Not a bad shout, actually. And like, that replaces Kang Dynasty.
Yeah, like, and he's then eating planets. So, like, all the heroes on Earth are like, hey, we should probably stop that, actually, because, you know, we're one of the planets.
We live on one of those.
We live on one of those, and he's going to eat us.
That's interesting. Also, this is by the by. They said they were looking for a comedian to cast as Herbie the Robot. I don't know Jack if anyone... Black. Jack Black would be fantastic. I was also thinking James Acaster. Just a weird, awkward British robot.
You know what? I can see that happening.
I can see it work.
It feels good to finally be able to confirm things with this movie. So, I mean, hopefully it's good. The past few movies have been fine. So yeah, Let's see what happens. Kevin's putting it all on Fantastic Four, and he's one slow drag of a cigarette. Yeah. And he's like, one more shot. We got one more.
That, like, I think that man is like hanging by a thread.
Any more mediocre movies, he might just lose it. So we're moving on to our next piece of news. And what I wanted to touch on was the fact that we have another four movie universe coming up. And you're thinking, what kind of universe? Well, what about a Beatlesmania universe, Sean?
Oh,
because,
man,
Sam Mendes is set to direct four separate Beatles movies, and they will do one on each band member. And this got a lot of traction on Twitter. Yeah. Sean, what do you think of this idea?
It's fucking terrible, but also, I'm fascinated. I think they're going to get one in, and that, objectively, the order you would take is that you would go Paul, Ringo, George, and John. You have to.
Why did
end
you do
with
it
John.
That way?
Because Paul is like the everyman, and he's still fucking alive, which helps.
Yeah.
Then Ringo is like fun. He's the fun one of the Beatles.
Yeah.
George is like, it's just going to be a good movie. That'll probably be the best one, objectively. And then John Lennon, you're not going to open with Lennon.
Yeah, but Lennon's going to be a short one. That's a shorter movie. Yeah. So you want to finish on that.
It's just Catcher in the Rye, and then it ends suddenly.
Literally 20 minutes.
like Sam Mendes is a great director. I just don't know why he would do... Why would you sign up to do four biopics?
He's an Oscar-winning director, and he signed on for four fucking Beatles movies. Like, it's weird, because we've actually had quite a lot of Beatles stuff in the last, 5 years. Dating back to, that movie Yesterday, do you remember?
Yesterday there was... What's the found footage documentary?
Yeah, that was last year, I'm pretty sure. That was, a full-on movie as well.
Yeah, Get Back, that's it.
Yeah, I think what happened was they did, the Bohemian Rhapsody, and they did the Rocket Man, and they did all those stuff. Yeah. And then, people are like, well, who's the most famous band ever is the Beatles.
Yeah. Green Day, of course.
Green Day, obviously, 2004 American Idiot, what an album. Evanescence, of course. But also behind them, the Beatles. Just underneath them. And they were like, well, that's where the real money is. If Rocket Man and fucking Bohemian Rhapsody are getting them... This is obviously... But the fact that you didn't do all four of them in the one movie, that you're doing each one separately, it's a weird amalgamation of, them trying to jump on the bandwagon of, well, that worked for those movies, but also trying to have their cake and eat it too, of, well, if we split it into four, we get quadruple the money.
Yeah. But, and I don't think there's enough of most of the Beatles to fill a full movie.
How are you filling a full movie of each member of a band?
However, this is a Sony production.
Yes!
So I think most of the money is going to come from the inevitable re-releases of Beatles songs that they put out. That they do
True.
The film version, or the 2025 remaster, or whatever it's going to be.
Mm.
But
how do you do a movie about, say, I don't know, Paul?
Yeah.
And are the other characters just, barely in it?
That's the thing. There's a lot of overlap between each of the Beatles for a good length of time.
I would say for a good 15 years, there's a large overlap that it's going to be, you know, it would be so funny if they did each movie, right?
Yeah.
But like every movie was the same scenes, but from a different perspective.
Honestly, that's fantastic. Have you seen The After Party on Apple TV?
Yes, I've heard of that. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a murder mystery and every episode is a different genre from a different person's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Do that with the Beatles. Suddenly I'm interested.
Like every scene is the exact same in all four movies, but it's just shot with the other actors and what they're thinking.
Unless, when did the Beatles start?
Oh, like 1962, 63?
Dude, if you nailed that, that's honestly fair play to you.
Maybe it might be like 1957 or something.
Also, sorry everyone, I got a new keyboard recently and it's super loud.
Oh, it's very clicky. It's very, yeah. very clicky.
Okay, Beatles were active from 1960 to 1970.
I tried.
So, unless you did 2.5 years of each of them and it just slowly develops over the... But then there's stuff happened after it.
But then you're missing parts of, say, Paul McCartney's life in 1970 because he's in 1961.
Okay, maybe you do Paul last. And that covers the gap between fucking when Lennon was shot and when Ringo was
doing
Thomas the Tank
Engine. No, Lennon
wasn't
shot until later on.
When was Lennon shot?
1980.
Was he?
Or no, maybe 1970? 70-something?
Tell you now.
74. My prediction is 74.
1980.
Ah, I was right the first time.
Nah, you backed out. Although his Wikipedia picture is from 1974, so...
That's what I was thinking of. That's what I was... I think this might be the weirdest idea anyone's had, and I don't know if it's going to work.
If it does, who's the next band that they do? Because my money's on Fleetwood Mac, because there's a story.
Yeah, but once you do Nicks and Fleetwood, yeah. I don't
that
know.
That can be one movie, there's, to be fair.
I don't know if there's any other band that all four of them have that kind of, like, fame.
Weezer?
Evanescence, sorry. Back to Evanescence. Yeah, of course.
Limp Bizkit, ladies and gentlemen.
Like, the Beatles are the most famous band ever. So, like, and you had four of them. So they just split into four ways and they were all pretty talented.
True. I mean, yeah, it's hard to justify four separate movies for four other individual artists who were also in a band.
Well, it's
together.
Very hard to justify four individual movies for these four artists as well, because
fair
there's
enough.
A bit of an overlap in the Venn diagram of their lives.
Well, what if they're really cheeky and it's just it's a lot of the same footage in each one?
I think an even more psychotic way of doing it, and the most psychotic way, is you do the movie but the other characters are barely in it. Like,
yeah.
We always join Paul at the end of a meeting and him in between stuff.
What if this is a big fucking bait and switch, right? And it's just, it's like you say, it's all of the in-between stuff. And then once all four come out, they announce the Beatles.
The
and then
Avengers.
That's when they all come together. And you can watch them all and you can slice it all together and it's one
Beatles
full story.
Beatles assemble. Oh my god, it's going to be so good.
But like, okay, just the main two, John Lennon, Paul McCartney. Who are you casting as who?
Oh, that's interesting.
The one I had was Paul Dano as John Lennon.
Yeah, obviously, locked
kills
in.
It. Like,
kills it.
And then Paul McCartney. See, Paul McCartney's still alive, which makes it a little weirder.
He's
going
to need to have a final say. He'll just pick, like, Henry Cavill.
But, okay, and this is an out-there choice, and it depends what era of Paul McCartney you're talking about. Tom Holland. He's impish and whimsical.
He is, but... I don't know, I don't know. See... Maybe you need somebody with the mop top.
Yeah.
Who can go pull off the mop top.
It's a tough look to pull off these days.
It's a tough look.
Jack Black.
Jack Black, bring back Jack. I don't know. I will probably cover this a bit more, but I just want to know, people, this is happening. It's fascinating, and I don't know what's going to happen. But Sean, I did want to talk to you about something else, though.
Okay, fair enough.
Because there's something that came out. Not only Sam Mendes is doing four movies, I was like, that's dumb for cinema reasons. But Coyote versus Acme.
Oh my God, this thing.
I wanted to talk to you about this because several people have messaged us to be like, what do you think of this? And it's pretty fucked up. So anyone who doesn't know, there's a movie called Coyote versus Acme, which is basically, you know, do you remember the Roadrunner movies? The Beep Beep? The coyote in that was always going to Acme, the company, to try and blow up the Roadrunner. Yada, yada, yada. So then they're like, cool, we're going to do a movie on that. And it was going to be an animated movie, and it was going to be really, really good. And they spent $70 million on it. And it starred John Cena, and was a mix of live action and animation. But it was Looney Tunes come back to life.
You had Will Forte in there as well.
Will Forte is also in it as well. And unfortunately, with about, I don't know, a few weeks to go, in November of last year, as a tax write-off, for $30 million, the movie was shelved by Warner Brothers.
Insane. Like, the movie completely finished. Like, ready to go. Same as what happened to Batgirl. Like, it was ready to go, ready to be put out. People had spent time and effort on it, and they just shelved it for the sake of making their, you know, quarterly or fucking yearly returns look better to stock.
And this is all come back to David Zaslav, who is the CEO of Warner Brothers and one of the worst human beings in the film industry. If we
he's just one of the worst human beings.
And look, they're serial killers, man. He's not murdering people. He's just
serial killers have fucking opinions on things. All right, Zaslav is just in it for the money.
No, I would say he's one of the worst things that's ever happened to cinema. Maybe we say that.
Yeah, okay. If you're charting the fucking demise of art and the use of film as a business, Zaslav is like on one of those axes.
So he cancelled Batgirl, and now he's cancelled Coyote versus Acme. But this week, he also cancelled the
Scooby-Doo movie as well.
They're all tax write-offs, fuck it, right? But not only that, what was happening now is that he's not only after cancelling it, he's basically deleting it. So the media no longer exists. So they spent maybe a year and a half filming, editing, putting this all together. They had a finished film. And apparently the whole thing will be deleted off the Warner Brothers system. So every bit of work that anyone has ever done on this will not be able to be salvaged. There will be no evidence that this ever exists, which is a big thing that's happening now with all streaming services, because there's no physical media of anything. Yeah. And so, like, this is happening more and more. Also, David Zaslav is meant to have not even seen the movie.
Just fucking gutted it for no reason without even seeing. I imagine it's good because the people involved in this are very, very talented people.
Well, Will Forte came out this week and he posted
on Instagram
letter to like the cast, because he actually did get to watch it. And when he watched it, he was like, this movie is actually like super funny, visually stunning, sweet, sincere, and emotionally resonant. And he just expressed like his confusion and frustration, because he was like, they've cancelled this. It must not be good. And so he sat down to watch it. And look, he's biased. He's in the movie. But he knew they were cancelling it, so he has nothing to gain from it. So he watched it and was just like, that was way better than loads of stuff that I've seen.
I just, like, genuinely, I hope to God some, you know, director, producer, editor, animator, someone has a copy of this on their hard drive. If it just happened to get, you know, uploaded to certain sites, would that be the worst thing in the world?
See, the thing about that is they were trying to sell it for $80 million. Earlier on, around Christmas.
But on a $70 million budget, that's not insane. Like,
so they were trying to sell it $80 million to Netflix, Amazon, and Paramount, but all of them turned it down. They basically rejected their offers because they were like, we'll give you $40 million. They were like, no, 80 or nothing.
Those are also all, this is full tinfoil hat territory. Those are all companies that have deals with Warner Brothers for other properties as well.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if that factored into negotiations. Because you can't put the Warner Brothers logo on it at that point.
Mm.
The thing about it, like, I don't see, like, Warner Brothers have avenues other than theatrical releases to release things on. Even if they don't market it, the negative press that has been around this movie would generate enough interest, I would wager, to warrant putting it out on their own streaming service, or Max, or whatever it's called now.
And Batgirl, and the Scooby-Doo thing. And the main thing with all of this stuff, in terms of cinema, is that I probably mean some filmmakers, which, I mean, Nolan is gone now. He left straight away when Zaslav came in. And, like, he was basically their big cash cow. Not only that, but, like, you have all of these other filmmakers that, like, you probably would think twice about working with Warner Brothers on a project if they're like, yeah, cool, you're signed on. And you get all these actors and you spend $80 million and they're like, sorry, man, I know that was a year and a half of your life, but actually we're not doing that anymore. We're deleting all your media so you have no evidence that it's ever did anything.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that because there's an animation studio in town and I've talked to animators from there. And if that happens, they were telling me, we were talking about Coyote versus Acme. If that happens, not only do you not, like, you can't say you worked on it and stuff, you can't use any of the footage you worked on for the last year and a half in your showreel.
Yeah, you can't, like, there's no evidence that you ever did anything.
Yeah, so, like, it's, you've just, like, knocked your career back a year and a half.
So they've taken 18 months of your life. And you don't even get any CV or resume out of it because you can't say you worked on that movie if the movie, there's nothing that exists.
That's, yeah, if there's no movie, you didn't work on it. Like, that's how it works.
So they've ripped up all the plants and they've salted the earth. So, nothing will ever grow again. Which, to me, as, like, a filmmaking thing, just as a movie lover, but, like, also somebody who, like, we read about this industry a lot.
Yeah. Is that, no, we studied this. Like, we don't talk like we've studied this before. We've studied film and cinema. Like,
that's fucked up.
It's horrendous. like,
this is going to fuck up so many people. And also, the psyche of filmmakers, maybe for smaller productions in the upcoming years, you're going to be terrified.
Oh, like, yeah.
This movie's never good. If Batgirl gets cancelled and that has Michael Keaton in it, what the fuck is my movie going to do when Warner Brothers says, yeah, you could do it on a $10 million budget? That's never getting made.
This is the thing. And, like, Hollywood at the minute is all about, like, bankable IP. And if you can't bank on Batgirl, Scooby-Doo and Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah.
What else is there that's safe, you know?
Like the Looney Tunes and, like, I mean, Madam Web got made. Like,
yeah, Sony has their own fucking thing going on.
They've got their own problems, right? But, I suppose Sony's the other way, where they'll make anything. They don't give a fuck, right? But Warner Brothers, which actually you'd prefer, it's not the idea that they won't make anything with Warner Brothers. It's more annoying than that. They will make it. They just won't release it.
Purely for the sake of writing it off at the end of the year.
Which is worse. Just tell me no from the start, and then I can pitch it to different studios, or maybe work on it and then maybe change the plot to something else.
Yeah, and, like, give people, like, filmmakers, but also just the crew and stuff like that, give them an idea of what's going to happen with this. If this is a movie just for streaming, that's okay. Just tell people that in advance. And they'll still work on it. They'll still animate for it. They'll still direct for it.
People just want the stuff that they make to be seen by people.
Yeah. Like, on a very small scale, like, we had to make, like, showreels and shit like that in college. And even if it was something bad, if you could pull out 5 seconds of interesting, impressive stuff that you did.
All my stuff was 5 seconds of,
hey, look,
bad stuff.
It was the best 4 second showreel I ever watched.
All time.
But, like, just, like, there's merit in that of being like, look, any production you work on, there is something that you worked hard on and you should be able to show that to people.
It would just genuinely be like if someone came into your office, if you worked in an office and someone walked in and just deleted everything you've done for the past 18 months. It was like,
yeah,
you've done no work. And you're like, I have. They're like, there's no evidence.
Yeah, there's
you've
no proof.
You've done nothing.
No, but I clocked in every day. Like,
don't think so. Deleted you off the system, lad. There's no evidence you were ever here.
And like on a larger debate about like lost media and stuff like that. Did you see the thing that 28 Days Later, which is my favorite movie, is not on any streaming services and the DVD is out of print. So whatever exists at the minute, just that's it. That's all we have now.
Well, I mean, that gets me into, there's another thing to do with sports at the minute that's like super fucked up that's going on. Like Premier League games, right? This is just a random thing that's really like really frustrating everyone. So, you know, you pay for like Sky Sports, you pay for your BT Sports, you pay for you might be spending like 100 euro. Like, I don't, but like you might be spending like 100 euro extra on sports channels.
Yeah.
To get all of the games. So you're spending an extra 100 euro every single month to get all these games. And and every week, what happens is there's like a game that isn't available on any streaming service. There isn't one Premier League game on any streaming service. So people are spending 100 euro a month support Fulham and Fulham aren't on anything. So you spend 100 euro and you can never see your team play, basically.
Because that's just what the company has decided.
So they're like, well, you can't stream it illegally though. But people are like, well, I only support Fulham.
Yeah. So those are my guys.
I can't watch them. I pay for 5 channels and you aren't showing the games on any of them.
Yeah, like, how do you justify that to someone? Like, it's either all or nothing, surely.
It's all media and it's really fucked up and it's just Zaslav is one of the worst things that's ever happened to cinema. I'm very happy saying that.
Have you heard the thing that Warner Brothers is actually like on the edge of fucking bankruptcy and they're really hoping that Joker 2 performs super well?
I mean, lads, come on. Right? Why did they piss off Christopher Nolan? He made Oppenheimer.
like it's so funny that they like burned their Christopher Nolan bridge by releasing, was it Tenet on streaming or something?
Yeah, they told them they were going to release it cinematically and then they released it on streaming.
And then he comes back a few years later with Oppenheimer that just made a bajillion dollars.
But like,
sweeping awards.
Nolan is one of the, like, he's probably top 2 most famous directors in the world, right?
Household him and Tarantino. Name, which is rare for a director these days.
Like, are him and Tarantino the 2 most well-known directors probably in general audiences?
Yeah, for like average man on the street, 100%.
I think they're probably
Spielberg would be the other one, probably.
Spielberg as well, yeah, actually. So they're like the big 3. And like people, anyone who knows, like your granny knows who fucking Steven Spielberg is. So like they've probably heard Christopher Nolan or Tarantino be thrown around. Like the fact that they had him and then they were like, ah, it'd be grand. He's only got off the Paramount or whatever. It's don't worry about it. It's fine.
Is Oppenheimer Universal? Is it? Or
well, it's Universal, I think.
Which is insane that Universal just snuck in and stole one of the greatest living directors.
They must have just been like, you can do whatever you want, Chris. I mean, we're just Universal.
Yeah,
just
distributed
whatever.
By Universal. What the fuck, man?
Legends. Fucking legends, man. David Zaslav, I don't know what he's doing. He's going to run Warner Bros. Into the ground. Fair play to him.
How is he still there? I don't know. Did he win Biggest Loser of last year in our awards?
Us and the Patreons voted him as the worst person. No, biggest zero of the year, yeah.
Biggest zero.
I think he's just surrounded by yes men. And they just all just say, yeah, great job, brother. Yeah, fantastic idea.
5 minutes alone with him.
Masterful gambit, sir.
He's the Elon Musk of cinema, really.
He is. So I want to talk about something else, Sean. We can move on. I just want to touch on that because that's really fucked up. And it's important that we talk about something like that every so often.
Yeah, it's not often we get serious, but like it has to happen.
Sean, Pirates of the Caribbean reboot. Rumored to be eyeing Ayo Edebiri to bring in. So the Bear is getting a lot of love this week.
Hell yeah. Rightly so.
Ireland's own.
Ireland's own Ayo de Berry.
And she's coming in, and she is apparently to be rumoured in the Pirates of the Caribbean reboot that they're hoping to do. So Margot Robbie is still said to be playing the lead, but she is also going to be brought in as a character within it, which is, I mean, really good casting as well.
Yeah.
It's how do you feel about a Pirates of the Caribbean spin-off?
Sorry, are you asking me that? Are you actually asking me what I think?
I know the answer, weird pirate boy, but go on, tell everyone.
I'm fucking aboard. I'm shipping out in the morning. I've hoisted the colours already.
Did you know who else is apparently in line to play it?
No, I don't.
Karen Gillan is apparently rumoured
Connor
to be starring in the movie.
What are we doing here? What's the...
Margot Robbie.
Cut. Print. Ayo. $1 billion. Here we go.
Karen, Ayo, Margot. Throw them all in. All three of them.
Imagine the press tour. Imagine that press tour.
What about... And when in this movie would you bring back Jack Sparrow?
Jez, I'd say maybe 5 minutes in just to make sure that we retain everyone.
Well, no, the only person I think that would be good in this is Ryan Gosling. I think Gosling should be in.
Dude, Gosling in a pirate movie. Make him like the first mate on their ship. That would be
fantastic. I think Gosling should always be in every movie. Just, I'd like him and Margot Robbie to be like Tom Hanks and, what's her name? Meg Ryan. I was going to say Catherine Ryan, the comedian, but Meg Ryan. Yeah, so Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, but I want Margot. People were doing that with Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell. And they were like, oh, they're doing a sequel? And people were like, no, don't do a sequel. Do a different rom-com and they're in it as well. That's fine. People love that shit. I want that, but with Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling, but they're just in different scenarios. Like, they're in Barbie and now they're in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Honestly, there's nothing really wrong with that. Like, the thing is, like, you could do this and it's just like, either, you could do it either Jack Sparrow hasn't happened yet, Jack Sparrow is currently happening just somewhere else in the ocean, or this is after Jack Sparrow and the film starts with his funeral.
And they're all happy he's dead?
Yeah, I would love, like, and it'd be a very Pirates of the Caribbean-y bit, and it's just a series of women spitting on his coffin.
Oh, fantastic.
Perfect.
Wonderful. Yeah, I don't really, in terms of who's involved, I know the Birds of Prey writer, Christina Hodson, she's involved, cool. Craig Mazin, who created Chernobyl.
Worked on Last of Us as well, I think.
And The Last of Us as well, and some of a previous writer from some of the previous Pirates films, Ted Elliott, is also involved as well, so getting a bit of a cast of very talented human beings involved in this project in one go. So, like, I mean, casting...
Connor, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. However, he did write Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl. National treasure. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest. At World's End. National Treasure 2. Book of Secrets.
Is he you?
He might be. He might be my contemporary, to be honest.
He genuinely might be. He's you in writer form. Like, in another life, you are him.
I think he does look a bit like me, to be fair to him.
That's so weird that he's done Pirates and National Treasure.
And Shrek as well, for what it's worth.
If anyone doesn't know, Sean's two favourite movies are National Treasure.
Yeah.
28 Days Later, that's fine. But National Treasure and Pirates of the Caribbean... Curse of the Black Pearl.
But yeah, there's a different
World's
ranking.
Yeah, sorry, But like, they're your favourite things. And that guy's written both of them.
This man, he doesn't know me, but he is so genuinely formative to my childhood experiences.
You should find his Twitter and tweet him. And just be like, you formed my personality. Thank you.
Like, I genuinely might. Is he on Twitter, I wonder?
I'm sure it'd be very nice if he heard someone actually give him a show, because I'm sure people aren't tagging him for doing At World's End.
He he's, here we go. I'm just genuinely looking for this man now.
Just looking for Ted Elliott.
There's a few Ted Elliotts, to be fair. I'll find him.
We need to find him and just give him a show, because he's like the writer for this podcast.
Basically, everything that I am is his fault.
Is him. And he is involved in this project with Margot Robbie and Ayo Edebiri and maybe Karen Gillan and Craig Mazin and the writer, one of the writers of Birds of Prey, Christina Hodson.
I'm so on board. Tell me that doesn't sound amazing.
I mean, this is going to be great. And I'm sure it's going to, like, there's probably weirdos on Twitter that aren't going to like this. But I think it looks good.
Take off your anti-woke hat for a second, people. And just imagine a good movie, perhaps.
Imagine how good it could be. He's done National Treasure and Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah. This guy doesn't miss.
He simply hasn't missed. Well, Connor.
Yeah.
He wrote Treasure Planet.
Holy shit.
I need to give this man money, genuinely.
They're your three favourite movies.
I'm going insane right now. This is fantastic.
There's things that Sean likes. Pirates. He likes movies where people search for treasure. And then he likes that movie that has pirates searching for treasure.
Space pirates searching for treasure. Space pirates searching for treasure.
There is three genres.
I'm going insane. This is fantastic.
I didn't know we'd come across this today, but I think this is a very formative moment.
I owe so much to this man. This is humbling.
This is like that time I seen Kevin Conroy at Comic-Con. It's the same thing.
You're the reason.
you're the reason I'm here. Oh, man. That's so good. Sean, I wanted to touch on that. I just wanted to get you excited, because I think that's good news.
Oh, I'm very excited for Ted.
The more
Elliott,
I told
Connor.
You about that, the more information we learned about fucking Ted. Ted is my favourite.
I was already bought in, and I'm just more securely bought in now at this point.
Fair play. Ted is gracing Margot Robbie with his presence. And I think actually Margot should be thankful for that, because Ted has busy things to do.
I feel like me and Ted would get on very well if we were to just chat.
I think you might be best friends.
I think we genuinely might be. Like, separated only by land and age. But other
and
than that,
30 years.
I'll rock up to his house in a pirate ship.
Somebody is like, people want to get like starstruck with like massive movie stars. But if I got you an interview with Ted Elliott.
Dude, if anyone out there knows Ted Elliott, can we get him on the show, please? Because I'm just going to... Actually, I'll go non-verbal and I just won't be able to
Sean,
say anything.
Sean will just freak out and it'll be me going like, just say hi to Sean, please. Yeah.
Just tell him, just say Yar Har or
cameo?
Something.
Somebody get him a cameo.
He's not. He seems to be a private man, to be fair to him.
Of course he is. He's writing movies, Sean.
He's too busy. He's in front of that typewriter all day.
Do you know what he's literally doing? He's writing your next favourite movie. That's what he's doing.
And look, his next project coming up is untitled Pirates of the Caribbean film.
You know, when he was in college, do you think he thought to himself, there's going to be one kid in Ireland who's going to be obsessed with everything I write?
Do you know, I hope he did, because he deserves it.
Just, it's so weird. It's just amazing. I didn't realise we'd come across Ted. Ayo kind of got forgotten, but she's Irish, so she's one of ours.
Yeah, yeah.
She's one of ours. We'll get back to her. Like Paul Mescal or so. Like, we'll talk about them eventually. It's fine. But like Ted is really what's really come from this. He's a bigger star than probably everyone else on that movie.
Genuinely, I think I only care about Ted Elliott news these days.
Ted Elliott. This now podcast is dedicated to Ted Elliott. So we're moving on to our next piece of news, and I wanted to touch on something small, and that was the fact that Greta Gerwig is going to be doing a Chronicles of Narnia movie. It's going to be a reboot. It's going to be a film series, and it's going to be on Netflix.
Okay, all of that sounds actually pretty good. So. Like, anything Greta Gerwig is attached to, I'm just on board. But I really like Narnia. I read a lot of the Narnia books as a kid. I think they're good.
Did Ted write them?
Let me just check there.
I think C.S. Lewis is actually a code name for Ted Elliott.
Yeah. Lewis. Elius.
So yeah, the Chronicles of Narnia, obviously we had those movies like the mid-2000s, James McAvoy was in them, and they were fine, but this news really caught my eye only because I think Narnia is kind of like, it's a property that has a name, but like, it can do something more with it, and Greta Gerwig, one of the most talented human beings on the planet when it comes to filmmaking, so you get her involved, and suddenly, you might be looking at something really good.
That's the thing, and I feel like Narnia works well as a series. Like, I know there was, like, a series of movies.
No, this is a series of movies.
Sorry, I thought it was, like, a Sandman kind of series.
So the exact words are, director Greta Gerwig has been tapped to helm a new reboot, The Chronicles of Narnia, and the upcoming film series.
Ah, okay. I think it'll work. I think that translates to a Netflix film series quite well, that world. Whereas other things like the Avatar TV series, admittedly, that just came out, I don't think works as well. But Narnia, I feel you can get away with the way that Netflix stuff looks in the world of Narnia. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I also think that, I mean, Greta is like a massive get for this. They must have been fucking delighted that they'd gotten someone like of that caliber involved in this.
And I imagine she'll be front and centre in the marketing as well. It'll be like a Greta Gerwig project.
But Greta Gerwig being on board also means, in terms of actors, they're probably going to get higher quality people in, because everyone wants to work with Greta Gerwig.
And yeah, like,
especially younger actors, because that's what probably where they're going to aim early on. So you want to get in on board straight away, and she would be so good at that. Like, one of my favourite videos ever is that of her directing Saoirse Ronan and Timothy Chalamet. See them running around the neighborhood. That's so fucking good. Just random shit. I'm like, this is directing. This is amazing.
Yeah. No, she's like, she's just a super talented at her job. Like, it's entertaining to watch her work. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So I know I'm fully on board with that. Get so Ted
I
on
wanted
board.
To touch on that. That's a great idea. Also, what was happening was, I just found out this news this week and I felt like you need to know, because I knew, is that 5 months ago, Warner Brothers were pitched a Batman Beyond animated movie.
Yeah.
And it got pitched to them, and the concept art was revealed last week. And so they revealed this movie idea. And the idea was for Michael Keaton's Dark Knight to pass the mantle to Terry McGinnis to give the DCEU a new, younger Caped Crusader.
And if you've seen the images,
yeah,
I don't know how this wasn't given $1 billion immediately.
Because, you know, you forget, who's the CEO of Warner Brothers?
Is it Ted Elliott? Please tell me it's Ted Elliott.
If it was, we'd be in a better fucking position. But no, it's David Zaslav, right?
And that lad...
is a fucking idiot, right?
Joe, it's painful how obvious that production is.
Do you know what's mad? Is we have always said, and I think everyone, I feel like, collectively, but me and you, I mean, even from before we had the show, we were like, well, the most locked in, easiest slam dunk you could ever do in film is bring Michael Keaton in as old Batman and allow him to pass the torch to Terry McGinnis in a Batman Beyond movie with a Blade Runner 2049 kind of aesthetic.
No, you have to use him to sell tickets to The Flash, Connor. That's like, where you use Michael Keaton.
Has there ever been a more locked in, like, that is the easiest movie to sell. It would look amazing if done properly.
Yeah.
And that's why I went, like, Blade Runner 2049, something along those vibes, like
fully
neon.
Neon cyberpunk city, like.
Neon cyberpunk, Keaton as very old Batman, younger actor as Terry McGinnis comes in, takes over. The whole animated show has literally like the greatest origin for that character, follow the exact first and second episode of the show, and you're laughing.
Like, and you have so much story to pull from, just in general. Like, that would be your new safe bet of, let's just do another one of these every couple of years.
Yeah. And it's genuine. It's fascinating to me that they've never done it. And I know that's because they just keep rebooting Batman over and over again. They like Bruce Wayne Batman. They want to do it. And I think it's always one of those they put in the back burner to be like, we'll do it when we settle down Batman.
Yeah.
And Batman's locked in.
But the argument against that is Spider-Verse worked with Miles Morales, who a lot of people don't normally recognise as Spider-Man. Falsely, by the way.
And you just do an animated movie called Batman Beyond.
Imagine it. And look, and if you're trying to market it to kids, kids do not care who Batman is. Nerds, who are, you know, pushing 30 at this point, we care about who Batman is. And Batman is many people.
We're getting too old.
We're getting too old to rightfully complain about things, okay?
No,
the things
I
we complain
care.
About do not matter.
I just genuinely am like, man, this is so simple. If you're just going to do a Spider-Verse, if Warner Brothers right now wanted to make a shit ton of money, just be like, we're making our own version of Spider-Verse, and it's Batman Beyond.
And I'm like... I don't know how that doesn't print money. I don't know how you sit in a room of executives and pitch that and they don't immediately start writing checks.
And like, just look at the old animated show and just be like, okay, let's just do that. Yeah. But like,
and they took a risk on that show and it paid off.
Because what's happening is constantly is every new thing now animated is like, we're going to Spider-Verse it. It's going to be like Spider-Verse, but different. The only one that will actually work with is Batman Beyond. Everything else doesn't really work in that kind of weird animated environment. And the animation in Spider-Verse is obviously possibly the greatest animation of all time. So you're not going to reach that level. But the only way you're going to get close is that weird cyberpunk neon Gotham.
Yes, but I will say the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles worked
quite well.
Which was kind of Spider-Verse-y inspired in... Not even like style, but in like ethos of animation, I would say.
Mm.
But I like, because again, if you haven't seen them, look up the concept images because it looks like how you remember Batman Beyond feeling. Like, it just looks like, oh, this is future Batman.
Now, you've only watched the Return to Joker.
I've watched odd episodes here and there. I watch more of Batman Beyond than I have of the animated series, to be
That's
fair.
That's so weird to me, it's first insane. Of all. But secondly, like, the fact that you watched that animated movie, like, that movie is so good.
Yeah.
Right? And that was made in 2001. Like, imagine what you could do now with that.
It's overdue for even just their, like, DC animated universe. Like, it's overdue for some of that.
Just bring it out and fucking straight to DVD. Well, not straight to DVD anymore. Straight to streaming is what they're called.
Maybe put it on a DVD just so there's a copy of it somewhere.
But just straight to something, if you want it. Don't even put it out in the cinema. But that movie, there's a lot of money there.
Like,
you can make that so good. And I don't understand why. And that's why we're going to finish this week with news that James Gunn is always making comments about the DCU and what they're going to be doing. And obviously Superman is lined up. But Sean, he commented this week on two things. One, he was commenting that he wanted to bring Dave Bautista into the DCU in some regard. They don't know where.
Hugo Strange.
Hugo Strange is the obvious logic. He looks the exact same as Hugo Strange now with his grey beard. But also, somebody asked, would you ever try to bring in Spider-Verse writers, Lord and Miller? And so Lord and Miller, who the creators of Spider-Verse, someone said, why not bring them into the DCU? Like, as in, let them do a movie. And he was like, yeah, that's a good... He said, I saw them yesterday, I should have asked.
I could see the Batman Beyond project coming back around with Lord and Miller if they're not tied into insane contracts with Marvel and Sony. But it would also be cool to see them on, like... I'd like to give him a weird character and just have him kind of run
I actually thought of who I want Lord and Miller to do when I was doing this. Lord and Miller, Teen Titans movie.
Oh, nailed it. Instantly. Yeah.
Give them the Teen Titans.
That would work so well. Because one of their... This is a weird praise to give them. One of the issues they had on Solo was that they wanted everything to be too loose and improv'd.
Mm.
So, but for a Teen Titans movie, if you cast the right people, that's perfect.
And I think, and they kind of want to bring Teen Titans into the world as well. They're rumored that they want to bring in Teen Titans and some other characters.
Yeah, we're getting in the Batman movie that they're bringing out for the DCU. We're getting a Damian Wayne Robin in that.
Mm.
So would you do like that version of Robin in the Teen Titans, or would you do? Here's like a Tim Drake who's like a year
to
out.
To me, from- you got. I mean, I think you got to go Dick Grayson if you're going to do Teen Titans.
Interesting.
Damien, I never think of the Titans with because he always thinks he's too good for the Titans. And actually, one of the big driving forces of him joining the Titans is Dick Grayson being like, it'll be good for him, Bruce. Yeah. We need to send him there to be around kids his own age, not just you.
He'll learn how to not be a little freak all the time.
Because he just hangs out with you all day and you're also a psychopath. And you now are, he's a psychopath.
You are legitimately a terrible influence.
A terrible person. And so he's like, we'll send him there. And like, everyone hates him. But I think you need to get there because you have 40 years of stories where Dick is the greatest Titan and then Tim is the leader of the Titans and then Damien comes along and is like, Robin's in the Titans. And he's like, I'm not either of them though. Like,
yeah.
I'm not the leader. Fuck you. Or he walks in and goes, I should be the leader. Robin's always the leader. And they're
but
like,
he's not
you
up
have
to
not
it.
Earned that.
Yeah. You can't just take control of this.
Yeah. I think a Lord and Miller Teen Titans movie would fucking go hard. I think that'd be so good.
I'm fully on board with that. Like, give me that right now.
And if you want to, also, if you wanted to print money, just do Lord and Miller, but then make them repeat Spider-Verse, but Batman Beyond, but they probably want to move on from that.
Yeah. And there's only so world. Many animators you can burn through as well.
There's none left at this point.
That movie is meant to come out this month, by the way.
There's not a hope. Not a hope. So that's it for this month's Movie Mondays, Sean.
What a month, Connor. Actual movie news to talk about.
Movie news.
Seen it.
Shocking.
Would you like me to take us out?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Movies Monthly. We will be back on Wednesday with Weird News Wednesday, Friday with Hero Zero, and then next month with another episode of Movies Monthly. Big thank you to all of our amazing supporters over on Patreon. Once again, that's patreon.com/heroesforhirepodcast. Link is in the description. And as well as the extra movie reviews and stuff, you do get a shout out on the show. So thank you to Roisin and Baby Ben Palmer, Joe Burney, Ryan Komatsu, Dozer Enthusiast Evanson, Waffles loves you and hopes you have a good day, David Clark, Sean Chuckin in the Wash and It'll Be Grand Jameson, Dominic, Anna Irish Walrus Forever, and congrats Roisin on your baby, Hilmroose, Danny McLaughlin, Lord Smish, Michelle Brown, Michaela Doughty, Frost Overwhelmed by Uni and Other Bad Choices, Ed Ball, Connor and Lorraine are debating which is cuter, Sean's proposal in Japan or Connor's proposal on the Pelp, Russ a polite request that we do not hear any more spiders where they should not be reports, Parfit Jackson Bruheim decided to let Sean stay as host, Liz had a few too many on St. Paddy's Day and tipsily subscribed to the Patreon, Kira Lawler, Judge Lahey, The Amazing World of Keza, Mikey the Leinster Ledge Bag, Chair's number one fan, Kyle Borowski, Rory screamed when he was responded to on Twitter, and Sean subbed to the Patreon after 10 creamy pints. Thank you all very, very much for your continued support. We really appreciate it. If you want to join those amazing people, head on over to the Patreon, or there is a merch store, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter is @heroesforhirepod, the 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Devilman's Discussion Group. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just a one, please.
And I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I've been Connor Lawler.
I've been Sean Meehan.
And we shall see you all next month, guys.
Bye.
Bye.